to an episode of Crippled by Culture, where we talk about everything in life and related to the disabled and chronically ill community. My name is Sean Gold, and I am an author, advocate, and nonverbal public speaker for the disability community. To provide a quick description of for accessibility, I am a Black man with a white tracheostomy breathing tube in my neck. I am wearing a camouflage shirt. The person off camera is who you hear speaking for me. This video is of a Zoom call with me and the person talking for me off camera, and my guest is in the other box next to it. Today, I would like to thank Jonathan Moore for being my voice in this episode. In this episode, we are talking about the intersections of disability and advocacy.
Before we get any further into the interview, I want to give a shout out to our partnering nonprofit festival for the series, Festability. As the media director, I help organize a wonderful event in St. Louis at the Missouri History Museum. We have so many activities and vendors set up all over with an amazing headliner for our main stage each year. It is the best event in St. Louis to celebrate your disability unapologetically while celebrating the Americans with Disabilities Act. Make sure you come out if you're nearby. Check out the link in the description to learn more. Thank you, Festability, for sponsoring the series. Now, back to the show.
Now let's get to today's amazing guests. Laura is 33 years old and was born with cerebral palsy. When entering adulthood, she knew that it was ultimately up to her to create the future she'd seen fit for herself. So she began preserving and advocating, persevering and advocating. Laura made sure her needs and desires were addressed, and they became true. With perseverance and self-advocating mindset under her belt, she soon discovered her passion to one day be able to help individuals like her accomplish chasing after the things they'd seen fit for themselves. If it wasn't for her being determined and really speaking up for the things she wanted, Laura's life would look completely different. Her infamous quote is, "You are the creator of your own future. No one else will do it for you." Laura, thank you for being here today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Sean, for having me. I am honored to be on your show as a guest. I am doing great today and cannot wait to get this conversation started. Thank you.
Great, great. Would you mind giving a visual description of yourself, please?
Yes, visual description. I am a white female, American female. I am seated in front of a plain white background. I am wearing glasses and my hair is up in a brown. My hair is the color brown and is up in a ponytail, and I am wearing gold earrings, and there is a light in the background you can see at the corner of my screen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. First, do you identify with having a disability or a chronic illness?
Yes, I do. I do identify myself with having a disability. Yes.
Okay. Do you mind sharing what disabilities that you have?
Yes. So I have cerebral palsy, and I was born with it. The definition of cerebral palsy is lack of oxygen to the brain. So when I was born prematurely, I couldn't breathe and I was losing oxygen. And as a result of that, as I grew up, I was delayed in growth, and I couldn't walk right away. I was crawling as baby. When I grew up, I had difficulty writing. I had difficulty with speech. I got put in speech therapy in school and at home. I had a therapist to help me with my speech, and I did physical therapy. Writing with a pencil or pen. I have trouble writing, so I'm better on the computer. Yes, John. I am not the greatest typer in the world, but I do peck on the computer, but that has helped me so much. And when it comes to movement, I am able-bodied. I can walk. I don't use any walking cane or wheelchair, except my mobility can be slow at times. Definitely when I'm exercising or being active, it has helped my mobility. I have difficulty lifting heavy objects. So that's a little bit about my condition of cerebral palsy. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me ask, do you feel like there are any other things going on that you may feel are not diagnosed?
I do not. No, I do not. I do have anxiety, but that goes, I mean, that didn't come with the cerebral palsy. I just have anxiety. I can worry a lot. But that definitely has gotten better as I became an adult and I've overcome my obstacles and challenges, but that's about it.
Okay. That kind of leads me to the next question. Did you have to go through your own internalized ableist? And if so, how have that journey been like towards inner acceptance?
Let me see if I can, if I'm understanding you right. Have I come across like ableist comments and how did I navigate those like comments?
Well,
Or
the internalized ableism, like, just overcoming, the acceptance of your disability internally.
okay, yes. Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Well, like you were describing me in the beginning of this conversation, I let's see. Well, actually, it started in high school or middle school, all the way up to high school, where I really was afraid to speak up for myself and speak up for my needs and about like schoolwork to my teachers. I was afraid of saying who I am and what I needed. I was afraid. But then, time and time again, when I spoke up to my teachers, to my special ed team, I got really comfortable and really good at, okay, I can speak up for myself. And I felt empowered. And when I graduated high school, yeah, like you said, during the beginning, like I knew it was up to me to create the future I wanted because I was capable of communicating my needs, what I did in high school. And I I really like year after year challenge and obstacles. I knew, I had to persevere. I had to advocate for myself. And that's how I really overcame what my obstacles and challenges by persevering and advocating. And something as simple as like going to the grocery store on my own. Oh, I need help lifting this if I'm alone. Can I have some assistance here? Or it could be a great big ask, but I knew what I wanted and I wasn't gonna wait around and wait for things to happen unless I needed more assistance, year after year.
Awesome,
So.
awesome. Let me ask, what made you consider having an advocacy career involving the disability community?
Again, in my bio, you were describing me about my journey. I just like, once I figured out, yes, or overcame, I should say, my disability, and I got more comfortable with myself and more comfortable in my own skin, I knew that it makes you feel good when you accomplish something. And whether you have support behind you or not, when you accomplish something big or small, it makes you feel empowered. And I always knew deep down between jobs, I knew college wasn't right for me. I didn't want to do college. I knew that I wanted to someday like bring my advocacy of my journey into the disability advocacy community and help people with disabilities really persevere and advocate for themselves and really speak up on how important that is with having a disability.
Awesome. Awesome. In doing that, what do you think that you have learned, or what are the things that have really just stayed with you on a daily basis that you may have learned from the disability community or someone that you may have advocated for with a disability?
Ooh, that's a great question. I love that question, Sean. There, I just spoke to a group of transition aged youth students here in Minnesota about persevering and advocacy and how important that is. And I got to tell my story on how I navigated the world with my disability, how I am currently. And that just, I told them, you are gonna have days, down days. Like, don't we all, like, where we're gonna get hard on ourselves? And yes, where we're gonna say, why me? Why was I born this way? Why, we're gonna feel sorry for ourselves. But you know what? We're only human and we can get down on ourselves. But I see, or in my message, like by persevering and advocacy, it only makes you stronger, like overcoming your struggles and challenges. And not everyone experiences the same obstacles and challenges, but no matter what it is, it only makes us stronger. And by overcoming whatever it is day by day, that gives us strength to move forward and empower others within the community.
That's great. That's great. Thank you. What age group were you speaking, to? What age group?
I'm so glad I brought that up. I brought this up because it came out of nowhere, and I've always wanted to, speak to people with disabilities other than what I'm doing through the our community diverse ability, that we're a part of, Sean. And so I was speaking to transition aged youth students, so 18, no wait, 16 to, wait, 18 to 22 age, 18 year olds to 22 year olds. I wanted to say 16, but no, it was 18. Yeah, 18. Yes.
18. We go with 18.
Yeah.
In the beginning, did you find it intimidating?
You know what? No, I did not. That was actually the first time I got up in front of an audience, and I was not intimidated. And I was definitely in my element of speaking about my story. And I was not nervous at all. I nailed it. I didn't even have a prepared script of what I was gonna say, because I feel like when I have prepared something ahead of time, I get more nervous. And maybe someday I'm gonna have the opportunity to have to deliver a more formal speech, and we'll get to that someday, and I'll write out a format. But I just feel like I went up there, I talked about, my story, and the students were so engaged, and I kept on like walking back and forth, like talking to them, pointing to each and every one of them. And yeah. I loved it. Yes, thank you.
I can relate to that, because when I started speaking, I felt a sense of empowerment, and I don't remember being nervous as well. And I began at 16 years old, and then professionally at the age of 20. So I can definitely relate.
Wow, that's remarkable.
Let me ask, Laura, what advice would you give to someone who is starting off their advocacy journey?
That's a great question. My best advice just starting out your advocacy journey is like just believe in yourself and your message, what you want to get out there, what you want to, how you want to support them, your, or how do you want, yeah, how you want to support people out there and what your message is, and believe in that message every day and keep on thinking about it. And then it just comes natural to you once, right? Am I right? Yeah, it just comes natural to you once you get comfortable of what you want to speak about.
Gotcha. Do you have different techniques, methods that you use to advocate for yourself, or, maybe versus someone you would be advocating for?
Can you rephrase that question? I just want to make sure I'm understanding right.
Well, how do you advocate for yourself versus how you would advocate for others? And I guess the follow-up would be, do you have different techniques or methods that you use?
I wouldn't say I have different techniques. I have the same technique? No, wait. Tomorrow or next week, I'll have different techniques. Just watch. No, I'll have, or yeah, I want to say I have one technique, and that is, if someone is coming to me and they're asking for advice, and I just say, here's what I would do. Let's break it down. First, you got to find out, first you got to have the information, or whatever it is. Like, if it's like, how can I contact someone about, to access something? Well, I mean, I just break it down for them. And I'm just like, well, what area are you in? Like, what are you looking for? What do you want to accomplish here? Like, what's your whole point? Like, how can I, let's break this down, and I can tell you step by step on what to do. And I don't know everything. I just give my best advice to people, helpful advice, and they can take it or leave it, just like with anyone giving advice,
But my next question is, do you feel that there's a specific age, or what age would you say that someone who is disabled or chronically ill should begin advocating for themselves?
I would start as soon as your high school journey is over, because that's when you enter the real world as a adult in whatever path you take, whether it's going to a transition program, college, a trade school, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you are your own advocate. And if you're able to talk, or if you need help communicating, have someone there to really help you get your words out and speak up for you. If you can't speak up for yourself. Because
That's interesting that you said high school, because I would say start in high school to kind of, start getting practice, and maybe even middle school, depending on how advanced you are.
I agree with you. I agree. I agree too. Yes. You can, I'm not going back on what I said, of course, but you can, start as early as middle school, beginning of high school, end of high school. I'm just thinking from my experience, if you're not there yet, it really hits you when you graduate high school. Like, wow, okay, this is, I'm not going to be supported by these professionals I were supported by for n the next 4 years, like, whether it's a case manager, or a social worker in school, or yeah, I love your answer too. Yes.
It's almost like a cultural shock, once you're out there on your own. That's like a cultural shock.
Yes.
Let me
Yes.
ask a very important question. How do you know when you've made progress or have made a difference in your advocacy?
Ooh, that is a great, strong question. All these Questions are so powerful. And I love being able to answer them. Like we all get down on ourselves from time to time when we made something happen or something comes true. And then we're like, yes, I wanted this to happen, but now I want this happen to happen. Like, why hasn't this happened and that happened yet? I keep on seeing articles or quotes, whether on social media or outside sources, celebrate your big wins, or celebrate the small wins, like whatever it is you made progress on, like pat yourself on the back, and what I've learned is, we all know who our support team personally out there is, like whether it's family members, guardians, friends, peers. We can tell them about our win big or small wins, but sometimes if we tell someone like about something and we're really excited about it because we made it happen, sometimes like we want a different reaction to
Right.
from that person. And like if that person doesn't have the reaction you wanted, I've learned, who cares? Who cares? Because in your mind, you accomplish that one thing you're celebrating. So yeah, and you
No.
can, I've learned as I'm growing up, you can set boundaries with people like more and more, and you don't have to tell anyone any or anything if you don't want to, like you don't have to tell your friends about what you want to do, what your goals are. You can keep quiet because only you are in charge of you and your desires and your want and your needs. And it only matters if you're happy and going after that goal, aspiration. I'm kind of rambling on here, but yes.
You're doing great. You're doing great. And with like you were saying, with the responses, sometimes they can sometimes overreact or not react at all. But we
Yes.
have to celebrate ourselves. We celebrate
Exactly.
ourselves. And you mentioned support group. I was wondering, have you ever in your journey through advocacy, have you ever contacted someone from Congress or anyone in politics before?
You know what? That's a great question. I have not. I know. I have not. I know what you're thinking here, that I should. by how you're looking at me, I have not. I haven't gotten the chance yet. But I would love to someday. I had the opportunity to, and I'm proud to say this, that I'm proud to say it on here that I got in, but I received the opportunity, I should say, to join what's called Partners in Policy Making here in Minnesota. And it's a group where disabled individuals come together and they work on advocating, or they, work on advocating with one another, like supporting advocacy, and they get a chance to talk to legislators about making changes or making improvements. And I was so happy that I got in. And it's like a 6 month long course, and I'm hoping to do it someday, but it just wasn't the right time. And I believe someday, if it's meant to be, it will be meant to be, and I will be able to join on that in that group. But I just had other things going on with my career, and yes, so I had to politely decline, but I was very honored that I got in.
Awesome. Now that leads me to my next question. What do you envision for the future in your life? What does the future hold for Laura and
So in my life, just to like what you said, what do I envision for myself like in the future? Is that correct? The company that I work for right now, I work for a company called Inclusive Networking here in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We help teach employers in Minnesota how to hire people with disabilities, how to make them or become more inclusive with hiring people with disabilities. We help job seekers find jobs, and we make not just any job at any company, we customize a position for them at the company they want to work at. So a customized position. I am a at that at my company, I am a disability consultant, so I help support my team in finding companies we can contact and helping my team support job seekers. And on the another side of that, I am a benefits coach slash I am gonna become a work incentive practitioner. And I'm gonna, once I get that certification, I will be able to help individuals on social security benefits, kind of, or not kind of, but navigate the process of the ins and outs of social security. So the future I envision, the near future I envision myself doing is really helping individuals on social security navigate that process and really teach them, to become independent in reporting whatever they have to report to Social Security or whatever their support team has to support and what documentation they have to report in to Social Security, really just teaching them the ins and outs on Social Security and what you can do to help make the process, if not more smooth. Yes. So that's what I
Man,
envision myself from now.
I love it. How long have you been with that company? It sounds amazing.
Yes, it really is. My team is amazing, Inclusive Networking. Thank you. Thank you. I have been with Inclusive Networking for a little over 2 years now. I started in December 2021. Yeah, with them.
All right. Your quote, "You are the creator of your own future. No one else will do it for you." Let me say, I love it. I love it. Could you tell us a
Thanks.
little bit? How did you come up with that?
It just one day I was sitting in a coffee shop with actually one of my coworkers at Inclusive Networking, and we were going over something, and I think I actually was showing her a blog I wrote on persevering and advocacy in my journey. And like outside of our what we were doing. It just came out of nowhere. I'm like, well, I have to update my blog here if we, because she wanted to see if we could feature it on our website. And I'm like, well, I have to go in my blog and make some changes or add some new changes to my story and include inclusive networking. And then I thought of the quote right on the dot. You are the creative of your own, you are the creator of your own future. No one else can do it for you. And I thought of that just because by persevering and speaking up for myself. And
Say the rest.
whether, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was saying the rest is history from
Yeah,
there.
exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
It's such an empowering statement. I wonder, have you ever had a fear? I've been scared to advocate, speak up for yourself, and also, what advice would you give to someone who may be scared to speak up for themselves when they are disabled or chronically ill?
Yes. Oh my gosh, this is a great question. Again, I wouldn't say I was, thinking right now off the top of my head here, I wouldn't say I've never been scared to speak up for myself. Well, I mean, going back to high school, when I figured out I had to speak up and tell my teachers a little bit about me, that's when I would be scared of what I needed to tell them. But after high school, when I really took my perseverance and advocacy into high gear, I was never nervous about it, but I was always, or not always, but time and time again, I would just get tired of speaking up again and again and again and again. And sometimes I just didn't want to do it. I'm like, people, others should know about people with disabilities. They should know about disability inclusion. They should know this. But that's why we got to teach them, teach others, about certain people with disabilities. It's not rocket science. We just have to teach them, I'm having trouble with this. I need help. If someone's gonna look at you funny when you ask a question or ask a need and a want or voice your needs and want, let them. I mean, you can politely say, well, I'm sorry, but this is what I mean. I have difficulties. And then the rest is on them. We should treat others how we want to be treated, and that should go for everyone. But not everyone is going to be polite and respectful. But as long as we say in a polite way about what we need, what I want, hopefully, and it's gotten better. Disability inclusion has gotten better. Look where we are today, but we still have a long way to go. But as long as we are polite and respectful Hopefully others will, mirror that back to us. And people will respect you. But
You were just saying that, it is sometimes it can be a lot advocating for someone, and sometimes you do have to take a break, just take a step back, and that's okay. That's not
yes.
a bad thing. Sometimes you just have to do that for yourself.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Now, circling back to your question, yes, it's exhausting sometimes, but you just gotta do it and
Do you have any
it will be
advice
better.
you can give parents of someone who may be disabled or chronically ill, who wants to encourage their kids to speak up and start advocating for themselves? Do you have any advice of how maybe they can help?
Yes, I can. I love this question. It all goes back to our, our support, or I want to say a couple different things here. That's why I took a pause, but
No problem.
parents or guardians, when they want their ch child or children to really advocate for themselves or figure out how to do something, they just have to continue to talk over and over. The more you put yourself out there, the more you speak up, the more progress you will see in what you're trying to get at or what you're trying to accomplish. And you will also feel empowered. And yeah, it's as simple as, just parents, guardians can repeatedly talk to their child or children about, you are really gonna feel better about yourself, empowered if you speak up. And the more you speak up, the easier it will be. And one day you will find yourself like looking back and saying, oh my gosh, look at what I did. Look at where I am now. If I didn't speak up, I don't know where I would be, or what I would be trying to do, so that's my best advice.
Just
I was
support.
trying to narrow it down into one big sentence, and that's what I have for you. Yes.
Gotcha. Let me ask, what was there anything else that you wanted to discuss today that maybe we didn't touch on?
No, I think this is it. Just, I just want to say again and again, the more you speak up, the more you persevere and try to figure things out on your own and with assistance, the more progress you will see in your life, what you want to happen. And there, well, did I recently write down something for someone? I was writing something and sending an email to someone, and they were, I don't know, what did I say to them? I don't know. I had another quote I wanted to say that I just sent someone. I don't know. I can't think of it now. But the more you speak up, the more progress you will see in your life. And oh yes, I also wanted to say that I do I've been working with a job coach ever since I have entered the work world, and she or I've had many job coaches over the years. When I say many, people have left their positions and I've got new job coaches. And, even though I have a, a job coach who's there for me to advocate for me and whatever I need in my job, I've always wanted her or them, I should say, all my job coaches to be in the background. I've never had my job coach contact my employer because I've always wanted to be in charge of the ropes on everything, in my job. Like if I had a question or if I was having a problem or if I were having problems like at my previous jobs, I've been comfortable enough to go to my supervisor, even though, yes, it's gonna be scary when you speak up for yourself or asking for accommodations. But again, you're gonna feel more empowered to do it and more, you're gonna feel so much better if you do it yourself. And again, support professionals, they're there to help you. And if you need more assistance from them, they'll be there. I'm just saying, over the years, I've just have had my coaches in the background because I've gotten more comfortable with voicing my concerns or my wants or needs in my jobs, my career, I should say. So, yeah.
Awesome, man. I tell you, Laura, you are very inspiring and encouraging. And I
Thank you so
thank you
much.
so much for coming on and having this conversation with me. I hope that you have enjoyed this as much as I have.
I
And
have. Yes. Thank you.
I really appreciate the insights that you have shared and provided for us. And if people want to connect with you and support the work that you're doing, where can they do that?
So, yes, you are welcome. And I have enjoyed our conversation, Sean, so much. Thank you again for having me on as a guest anytime. And I loved our conversation. Thank you for listening to me and my story. And for those of you listening, or watching, you can find me or more updates on me. I have an Instagram, account. It is, all lowercase andert, underscore, and then lowercase Laura. That's my Instagram.
Okay. Awesome.
And you can also look me up on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn, at Lori Andert Inclusive Networking, and you'll find me there as well.
All right, I'll be sure to share everything in my description that I post below.
Okay.
Once again, thank you, Laura. And I'm Sean Gold. I want to thank everyone for watching. And make sure you like, comment, and just share all your thoughts and subscribe. Also, make sure the bell is on to be notified of each upload that I make. And I'll see you all next time on another episode of Crippled by Culture.
Want to listen to Crippled by Culture on your favorite podcast platform? Well, now you can. Crippled by Culture is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search up the show title and make sure you subscribe. Thank you for being a listener.